Oh, my goodness. This is an episode. You want stories. You want to know what's really going on in New York City. What's it like? At least from my perspective. Got back from New York City. Our daughter was performing at Carnegie Hall. It was an incredible experience. There were ups. There were downs. 85 kids, 115 plus on this trip together from Tampa to New York City to LaGuardia. I was there when the earthquake hit. Oh, my God. But I got a special guest. He is a big-time name in the sports world. He played football in the NFL. Long-time Mike and Mike ESPN legendary morning show. Mike Golic is my guest. But first, let me tell you about if you are in Tampa Bay and you are on the need for windows and doors, new windows, new doors, there is one place to go and one place only, and that would be Lipton Window and Door. They are the best in the business. They are the best in Tampa Bay. They are Tampa Bay's premier window and door contractor. If you're in Hillsborough, Pasco, Pinellas, or Hernando counties, you gotta give them a call. Ask for Tim Lipton, Lipton Window and Door. You heard it on the Rock Stops Here podcast, 727-372-2455, or you can go to visit their showroom in Newport Richey. Factory back warranty, hurricane protection, replacement windows, patio doors, double hung windows, metal storm panels. It'll help reduce your energy costs. They have 100% financing, quality, fully trained staff, the best. Lipton Window and Door. All right, Mike Golic, Mike Greenberg, Mike and Mike for so many years. And it's really hard to be consistent and stay at number one nationally with a morning sports show, and they did it for years, and then it came to an end, and it wasn't Mike Golic's choice, but then you got to move on. Now, on a much, 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 much lower scale, kind of happened to me. 18 years at Bay News 9. It's over. Now what? Now what for Mike Golic? Well, you know what? Sometimes it can be a blessing. He's doing a show with his son now. They're involved with DraftKings. I'll tell you all about that, but he is just, what a good guy. It was an honor to bring him on. Here he is on the Rock Stops Here podcast. The legend himself, Mike Golic. All right, I am with the great Mike Golic. Yes, Mike and Mike fame. He thought he was done with broadcasting, and they lure him back in, and he's getting to work with his son. How are you? That must be nice.
I'm doing well, and it's probably the biggest thing that lured me back in is I get to do a show with my kid. You know, every now and then I have to admit publicly that I love doing the show with my son, but I don't do it too much. I don't want him to get a big head.
When you look back on it now, you did amazing, amazing work on what you guys did. Are you proud of what you did? You really turned morning radio into you guys.
I mean, well, as one thing I get, you find out, and people that have been in radio or know radio, the one thing about it is if you do it for a while, that the audience knows you. You kind of give yourself to them, and you have to be willing to do that. And then there's the whole chemistry thing. You can't invent chemistry. It has to either be there, develop, or it's not going to. And Greeny and I were able to do that, I mean, from When we weren't even doing a show. We were trying to find a new host to be a host for me when Tony Bruno left. And Greeny wasn't even in consideration, and he just was filling in to do a show. And everyone was kind of like, especially my wife, she said, you know, I think that's going to be the guy. And we had just met right before that show. So we kind of had that natural former ball player, never played a sport in his life kind of connection. And it just kind of blossomed from there. It worked out pretty well.
You know what? Like, football is a team sport. It really is. And same thing when you're on a show. Don't you agree? It's not just me, 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 me.
Well, it can't be. I mean, it has to be. It has to be. There has to be that team aspect, whether it's a radio show, whether I'm in the booth calling a game like I've been doing with the play-by-play guy and myself as an analyst. It has to be a conversation. It can't just be he talks, I talk. He talks, I talk. She talks, I talk. There has to be a connection, a conversation. And the quicker you can get to that, I think the better off, you know, a show is going to be.
How big is preparation, whether you're an analyst or even doing a show? Because people are like, oh, you just talk on radio and you're having fun. They don't realize the preparation.
So for me, you know, I was fortunate enough to get it. And I'll be honest, you get a job because I played football for 9 years in the NFL. But now all of a sudden you're asked to do a national sports show, which isn't just football. You got to talk all sports. So I had to do a lot of work. I know the sports. I know the athlete's mind to play sports, but it didn't mean I knew all the intricacies of sports. So I called friends that I knew from other sports and talked with them for a while, you know, and just trying to break things down and kind of dove into it a little bit to know that, because listeners will realize if you're full of it, you know. So, you know, and there will be, I think one of the things I also did is I had no problem admitting when I didn't know something. I didn't try and become a know-it-all. You know, say, well, I know it. Even if I act like, if I don't, I'm going to say I do. If I don't know something, I don't know something. Nobody knows everything. So I was pretty self-deprecating, too, when it came to that. But there's a lot of prep. Listen, I was a 10th-round draft pick. My son, Mike, who's doing great in this business as well, I was undrafted free agent. So that's a position where you're used to. You got to work your ass off to get to rise up into an industry. And that's what you have to do.
Just two more. Most in this industry would tell their kids, don't get into this industry. But he has gotten it, and not on the name, but on his own. You must be proud. Did you give him advice when he was starting with this, Mike?
I mean, listen, he was always a great talker. He's smarter than I ever was, and he actually speaks way better than I ever spoke. And he put the work in as well. And he knows. He's the first to admit, I got a chance. He says, I got a chance because of what my dad did. He is very open to admit that. But he's not the first or the last in any business, in anywhere, inside of sports or out of sports, that will get a chance because they know somebody. But what all that does is crack the door for you. Now you have to show you can do it. If he couldn't do it, he was at ESPN. After I left ESPN, he was still there. So they kept signing him to deals. So he was obviously doing something right that had nothing to do with me, and he has just blossomed. He does just a fantastic job.
All right, I end with advice, but this reminds me. We're in Tampa Bay. I cover the Bucs. 85-year-old Tom Moore, 46th year in the NFL, gets another gig. So I was telling somebody, actually one of the guys in the Bucs organization, I said, you know, sometimes organizations love having a guy just like that to have him around, but he goes, let me tell you, if he's not getting the job done, he still would not be around. Okay, he might have gotten it in by the name, but if right. He's not getting it and
exactly
moving,
right? Yeah, it's exactly right. So he had to be able to do the job, or he knows, okay, I may have got a chance because of the name, but if I'm not doing it, they're going to boot me. But they keep signing him to contracts. I'm not around anymore, so he's doing something right. And Tom Moore, by the way, I see him live, do Bucks games usually every year. Just talking to that guy is an unbelievable joy to talk football with him. So I love the fact that he's back again.
Now, my last one, advice for a young person, whether it's broadcasting, athletics, whatever it is, you have made it to the top. What would be the best piece of advice you can give, Mike?
Get reps. And we're in an era where if it's going to be broadcasting, there are so many ways from, you know, podcast and blog, whatever, to where you can practice your craft. And the one thing I'll say is you're going to make mistakes. Learn from the mistakes. I've been in this business almost 30 years, and I still have never, you will never do a perfect show, ever. You're always going to make mistakes. Own it. You lean into it, but get reps anywhere, anyhow, any way you can.
You're a good man, great broadcaster. Just thank you so much, Mike.
My pleasure.
All right, that was great. Thank you, Mike. I'll tell you more about Mike and my New York stories. But first, remember my main sponsor. If you're in Pinellas, Pasco, Hernando, Pasco, and Pinellas counties, you want to get new windows and doors? There's only one place to go, Lipton Window and Door, Tampa-based premier windows and door contractor. Get your windows and doors replaced by hurricane season. Give them a call. You'll be happy. 100% financing. It'll help reduce your energy cost. Lipton has picked the best manufacturers with the best products at the most affordable prices. All of Lipton's windows and doors meet and exceed Florida building and energy codes. They're the best, been in business for decades. I'm putting my name on it. The Rock Stops Here podcast. Tim Lipton, Lipton Window and Door, Newport Richey, 727-372-2455. It was really cool. His son was there. You can tell how happy he is. That, there's nothing better than that. To be able to do a show with your son. His son has done great. He really hasn't had to use the Golic name. Maybe it opened a few doors, but you got to perform. It's the same thing on the field, whether you're Major League Baseball or the NFL or the NBA or the NHL, and you have the last name of a former player. Great, but that might get you in the door, but then, okay, day to day, are you performing? Are you playing amongst the best of the best and continuing to ascend? So, no, his son, and I know Drew, a guy that does play-by-play for college football games, and he worked with Mike Golic Jr. a couple of years ago, and he said he was great. He couldn't have been better. And then here's dad, Mike Golic. It's Gojo and Golic is their show. And they're working together, and he seems to be very, very content. Man, you know, you want to end things on your own, but that's not how life always goes. It doesn't work out perfect. And so he's bounced back, and he's happy, and he took a few minutes to do that. And I thank you, Mike Golic. Thank you. Continued success. It was an honor and a pleasure. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, back from New York City. I grew up in northern New Jersey, went to New York City, not a lot, but quite a few times. I either via the Lakeland bus or New Jersey Transit, jump on the train in Dover. It would take you into Penn Station, Newark at the time, and then you would have to change trains, and then you would get on another train that would take you right. Was it Penn Station, Newark? Or was it Hoboken? I'm trying to remember myself. But all I know, in the last, whatever, 30 years, 20 years, you can go directly from Dover, New Jersey, straight into Penn Station. I mean, there's stops along the way, but you don't have to get out and change tracks or get on a different train. But anyway, I remember going into the city back a long, long, long time ago. And I can tell you, it was exhilarating, but it was also scary. And 42nd Street, yeah, smoke this, that, you need this, that, show this, that. Ooh, ooh, ooh. It was like, I'm not kidding you, man. It was scary. 42nd Street. I'll never forget it. And now, fast forward to many, 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 many years later, yeah, you still got a few guys that are sleeping on the sidewalks. Not as many as when I was a kid or high school years. I think the city has been cleaned up fairly well for a city of that size with that many people. I'm talking about Manhattan. And it was interesting. For me, it's fun to visit. But after a couple of days, I'm ready to go. I could not live there. I remember when I was younger and getting into this business, and the goal was to work in New York City, the number one media market, TV, radio, be a sportscaster. Oh, man, I was wanting it so bad when I first got into this, and I was a sports reporter on TV and smaller market, and you want to go to New York. That seemed to be the goal. That's what you thought at the time, and maybe it would have been fun. Now, my brother, Patrick, has been in the city since he went to Fordham, which is in the Bronx, and he had a short stretch in New England, back in New York City, and he's been there ever since. Actually, the Williamsburg section of Brooklyn. And he and his wife are going to be moving to Bucks County, Pennsylvania. And their daughters, one daughter's going to college. Another one will finish out her schooling in Pennsylvania. And they're happy. But he's New York City. He knows it. He's been there. There's been great times, all that jazz. You got to be a certain kind of person to be able to live and work and just be in that concrete jungle. There's so many people. But anyway, here was the deal. Our daughter's a freshman at high school, East Lake High School. and they have an unbelievable chorus. An unbelievable chorus. Mr. Knable, he's been there forever. He's taking kids to Paris. This is like his fourth trip to Carnegie Hall. He's taking them to Nashville. This was his biggest group. 80, and Addie's a freshman, 85 kids. Plus you have factor in chaperones, and it was about 115. Try to do that, to go from Tampa, getting them all checked in at the same time. These are kids. And do they, you know, with their pass, boarding passes and being on time here and there and there, they got it done. And it was an incredible experience. But so Emily was nervous. My wife was nervous anyway. We were not. She helped with this other lady really honestly do all the legwork. The other woman did an incredible amount of work and did all the legwork to help this teacher, Mr. Knable, put this on. This is a year-long project, or not a year-long, school year-long project. Raise money. They had to raise $250,000. It was a lot. It was a lot. A lot, a lot, a lot. You can imagine. Take a trip with your family for 6 days, 7 days, whatever they were there, 6 days to New York City. Can you imagine 85 kids you're in charge of? How about that? So they got it done. We flew, so Emily and I was not, Emily's not a chaperone, but she's a school employee, so you can be around the kids. We were going to go there, and we got there on like 2 days after the kids did. So we were there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And we flew in. You have a daughter, there's always going to be a little drama with this one and that one. I'm not going to get into it. So anyway, we fly, no problem with the flight, early morning flight, 5 o'clock in the morning, we're there, whatever. Beautiful flight to LaGuardia, nonstop. We get out, we're going to take a cab. It was going to be cab or Uber Lyft. We get in the cab, okay. It was a cab driver. 42 years he's been driving a cab into New York City, in New York City. He was complaining, bitching, and moaning about the mayor of New York and this and that, and the Uber drivers. Now you got the lanes for bikes, and they don't have to pay these fees, and now can you do this and that? Is there a mayor that you liked? Well, Giuliani did a decent job, but blah, blah, blah. But he's a typical New Yorker, and he's been there, and da, da, da. And Emily, we get this, our phones start buzzing. And Emily looks down, and he even said, "What's that?" Because it was so loud, you know, and it was earthquake hits New York City, 4.5, earthquake. And I looked at Emily, I was like, "Oh, that's New Jersey, New York. There's no really earthquakes here. It's no big thing." Earthquake, above all the times for us to be there, and Emily already nervous with everything and all the kids, and how's the trip going to... An earthquake hits. What is the chances of that? Now, my brother-in-law's wife was in their apartment building in Williamsburg, and she felt it sway. She definitely felt it. It occurred outside, probably about 45 miles outside of New York, called Hunterdon County. That's a rural county. I'm very familiar with it. And that was where the epicenter, that's where it really hit. And I saw a lot of the video and, you know, the chandeliers swaying and glass coming down and stuff off walls in, you know, closer to the epicenter. It was 20 minutes it took for the alerts, the notifications to come on our phones. And then, of course, oh, in California, we get it in 4 or 5 minutes. Well, you're used to having that, you know, however it was. Yeah, it took 20 minutes. So we were in the cab almost in the city when we got it going into the tunnel. So 20 minutes, it meant we pretty much figured our plane had just touched down. We were either on the tarmac, not the tarmac, you know, walking off the plane, or in LaGuardia, or waiting for the cab. Most likely somewhere around that time with LaGuardia. And by the way, have you been to LaGuardia? Compared to Kennedy and Newark, I used to love Newark, and now it's so crap. LaGuardia is beautiful. They did a nice job. They have revamped that whole place. It looks great. It was nice, but we didn't feel anything. I didn't feel anything. I'm being honest with you. And, you know, and so once we got, the word was buzzing, and then there were aftershocks, and we were getting these notifications on your phone. So you can imagine, once you get out of the cab, once we got in, our room was not ready yet. We were staying down near Madison Square Garden. The next day, we're going to be in the hotel where all the everybody was at the Sheraton. That was on 7th and 52nd. We were down around Madison Square Garden on 30th. So it was about a good 22-block walk. We don't mind. Emily and I do not mind walking at all. I walked so much in that trip. Feet were sore. It was good. It's good for you because I don't walk. I don't walk much around here. And so we just put our bags in a little Courtyard Marriott. We'll be back tonight. And we just walked. And so you're getting aftershocks and notifications on everyone's phone in New York City was going off. So you can imagine how loud that is when you're walking in Manhattan. Notification, aftershock, alert, you know, blah, blah, blah. New York City, you can go about your business. No, you know, blah, 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 blah. But so it was just, it didn't bother me. But my wife's already nervous about our daughter, you know, the whole trip and everything. So you can only imagine. But you're so busy walking and walking. Now, I don't mind walking when there's a lot to see. A lot of people, a lot of storefronts, a lot of stuff. I get bored on paths, walking. I know it's relaxing for some, walking in the woods. Yeah, I'll hike maybe once a year and that's fun, but not every day. For me, I don't know. I just get bored on a path like here in Tampa. I can't do it. But there, I don't mind. We don't mind. We did not mind. Now, what is different was when it was Times Square and it was at night. What I did not like was there was this National Concerts, whatever. They did a good job. They ran the whole show. It wasn't just East Lake High School performing at Carnegie. There was the Colorado Kids Symphony, 8 to 10-year-olds. They were amazing. There was a soloist from Nashville, a high school. Incredible. This was the best of the best. And after the performance on Saturday, and you had a lot of downtime, and they had a party at the Hard Rock in the heart of Times Square from 10 to 1 a.m. on a Saturday night. And there is a lot of shenanigans going on in Times Square at midnight to 1 a.m., 11 to 1 a.m. You can only imagine. And we're walking, and we have a daughter and a daughter, her friend. They were having a ball, a blast. But being only 14, going to be turning 15, they don't understand danger yet. Not everyone in Times Square is your friend. And I'm the father, and I'm watching. I'm sticking right there. You know what I mean? And that was a little, I mean, my daughter danced with one of those mannequins, like a mannequin who was dressed gold, man. And there's video of it. And she's not afraid. She's not afraid at all. She's been on the stage for so long. She can dance. She'll sing in front. And it's great. The fun is great. But the two girls would go up behind somebody, high five them, come up to these guys, come behind these, tick, you know. Not everybody is your friend in Times Square. Like, I'm trying to, but I didn't want to, and Emma's like, don't ruin the moment. And I know, I'm just trying to be, you know, watchful and prepared. So that was a little shaky. It was so crowded in Times Square. We walked her and her friend to the party at Hard Rock. And then, no, they went as a group, but we went to pick her up. No, they went with another mother, the friend's mother. We went to pick her up to make sure she was okay and walk her back. They didn't stay all the way till 1. It was probably midnight, 12:15, 12:20, something like that. And it all worked out. It all worked out. And I did a lot. We were in Central Park. Must have been 3-4 times during the trip. Central Park was great. I didn't see a lot of shenanigans. It was nice. Overall, my overall impression, having been in the city many, many, many times, many years ago, I thought it was pretty fairly safe. My brother had just come, the one from San Francisco, on a business trip. And he said, San Francisco is getting better, but he saw some stuff that you don't even see in New York, that it's less safe in his mind, and he's in New York, Williamsburg to Manhattan. And he was laughing because when he visited us at the Sheraton up on 52nd, he's like, we don't come up here. We don't. If you live in New York City, you don't go where all the tourists go. You don't hang out in Times Square. You don't. You know what I'm saying? You stay in your neighborhoods or wherever you got to go. It's just a whole different ball game. But our daughter had a blast. The friend that she hooked up with for the trip was amazing. She went up on a helicopter ride over the Statue of Liberty, over the Empire State Building. She was at this other observation tower that's beautiful. She went to a couple of museums, Broadway shows, a Broadway show. So again, as a tourist, man, it was great. Emily and I just did a lot of walking. And people were like, oh, yeah, you had some time. What fancy restaurant you go to? We already spent a ton of money on this trip. She and I are not the big fancy, fancy, expensive dinner. it was great. Oh, overall, it was a great experience. And then the Carnegie experience. Now, there was a meltdown. There was, because of this and that and seating, and then I had tried to move. We were too close, and I got the wrong seats, and we really couldn't see. So at intermission, we moved over on a first-tier balcony or second tier, and we could look down. We could see our daughter on the stage. In the end, it all worked out. But let me just tell you, what an experience for these kids. High schoolers out of Tampa Bay. My daughter's a freshman. Getting to perform at the iconic, for this Runstad, Jake Runstad, the director, composer, or whatever, and he was there, and he's one of the best. And they had house musicians that performed there at Carnegie in New York. You're at the number one spot. And they were for the chorus. And they were with two other schools. It was a big group on stage, over 100 and something. And they were so precise. They were so good. These are grown men and women that are at the best of what they do. And these kids got to have using them as their accompaniment. It was incredible. It was incredible. And that's what I love about big events, top level, top notch events. That's why I like going to Super Bowl week, the NFL owners meetings. Maybe I'll try to go to the Major League Baseball All-Star game this year. I believe it's in Texas, Arlington, because I could blow it up on some interviews, but we'll see. We're spending a lot of money. We'll see. But when you're at the best, like, I don't know if I told it on this podcast. I know I told my brother-in-law who works for the NFL. I went to the NFL owners meetings and I went to get some guests. I got some great guests coming up, but I went to a couple of the press conferences. And when I heard those that were speaking, representing whether it's marketing, ticketing, the ratings, the new league rule changes, every speaker was so on point, precise, top notch. This is the NFL. When I went to Carnegie and listening to these performances and listening to the pianist or those that are doing, they're playing their instruments up there, these men and women in there, they're the best of the best. Everything is best. It's tight. There's no mistakes. They're just so good. It's really something to see. It really is. And so all in all, I just thought it was I was blown away, And then once it's over, then you've got hours and hours and hours to go until the party at Hard Rock at 10 o'clock. They rented out. That's how many were at this party. They rented out Hard Rock in Times Square. The kids are off. The kids are off and about, and they're having a great time. And what I also noticed over the 3 days that we were there and being in the hotel, the Sheraton, where all these other schools, all these kids were milling around in and out, coming from all over the United States. It wasn't just this one performance. They had them Friday, Saturday. They're pretty supportive of one another. It's like a tight group, and they're having a blast. They're kids. They're having fun. It's kind of neat, you know? And it's boys and girls together, working together at these performances, which I think is cool. I was telling that to Emily. I'm sitting there and just watching. And I'm like, when I was coming up in high school, I played football. I played football freshman year, and then I went back out junior year, and I'm like, nah, there was already a quarterback. This guy ended up going to the Seattle Seahawks. I wasn't going to be a DB. I quit. Or I just didn't go. I kind of wish maybe when I look back, sometimes, but whatever. And then 4 years of baseball, freshman and junior year of basketball. But it was just with guys. You know what I mean? It was here, these are boys and girls working together, all getting along, getting used to the opposite sex, all as one. It's kind of neat to see. I think it's great. Great. And so it was just a really, 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 really neat experience. Now, I also had two mornings where Emily was either sleeping in, she normally never does, or she went down, maybe the fitness center did it, and I just took off. And early morning, I got up, I walked. I wanted to walk where the NFL offices are in Park Avenue. That's where my brother-in-law works. Always throwing that in. Very nondescript. I mean, a beautiful building off of Park Avenue. If you know New York City, Park Avenue is beautiful. Park Avenue, Fifth Avenue, really nice, very wide expanse. And this was early in the morning on a weekend, so not a lot of people were around. Those that live in the city, maybe walking their dog, kind of quiet. Really, really nice. I ended up getting a muffin from a street vendor for $2. And then I got myself a Starbucks coffee. And I was good. I was just walking very quiet, away from the hustle and bustle of the down either by the garden where Penn Station is, or Times Square, or even up. It was nice. And I don't like the heat and humidity. It's just me. I'm not trying to be, you know, my wife's like, oh, stop complaining, man. No, it's just me. So one morning, I wore my shorts. I had on a shirt and a light jacket. And once you get walking and your blood, sometimes you start sweating, I'm good. And I looked down, the temperature, I think it was like 45 degrees. And I was in shorts. I was fine. And then I walked. I wanted to see where the NFL offices were. Very nice. I kept going. It always seemed like every time I went into the city, I would always end up by Radio City Music Hall, 30 Rockefeller Center, 30 Rock, the Sirius XM Time Warner building. There used to be SNY, which is a sports regional network, the Mets network. That used to be a block away right down there. Now that's MLB, an MLB store. That's the only thing that had really changed. Radio City Music Hall, it's always there. I always end up being there. So I ended up walking over there. And I saw St. Patrick's Cathedral. I always like to go in, man, and just the quiet, even though it's so big and there's a lot of visitors in there, very peaceful. Usually I'm not big, Catholic religion now, but I'll tell you what, man, I say a prayer, thanking, you know, thankful. We're all healthy. We're here. I'm here. How the heck... Here, I'm so fortunate, you know, we're fortunate, the kid, family's good, everybody's good, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Ended up doing that. It was neat. And then we had walked with Emily one of the nights, at Natty, I mean, and to where she used to, my wife, Emily, interned at the NBC Today show with Katie Couric. Yeah. She was at the University of Georgia. She wanted to get out of the state of Florida. She grew up in the countryside Clearwater area. She didn't want to go to be a Gator, didn't want to be a Knoll. She wanted to get out of the state. So she went, she got accepted to the University of Georgia. And she thought at the time, being a communications major, she wanted to be a TV news reporter. She had wanted this since she was in grade school. And she figured, well, the University of Georgia, CNN, is in Atlanta. I bet you I'll have a good shot at interning at CNN. Once she got to the University of Georgia and she went to whoever was in charge of the internships in the communications department and she tried for CNN and they said, oh, you're from the University of Georgia? We discourage. We try not to take kids from the University of Georgia because we're in Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia. We try to take in kids from somewhere. She's like, you gotta be kidding me. But she ended up getting an internship in New York City. She lived in a dorm room at NYU and it was a great experience. She really liked Katie Couric. She said Katie Couric was really, really like a mentor. She was great. She would tell the one thing she came away from the NBC Today show, don't use excuses. Don't tell me, well, I wasn't able, like, did you perform this task? Well, you know, this is, Katie Couric would say, I don't want to hear it. Did you do it or not? Don't make excuses. You either did it or you didn't. And Emily always remembered that all the years. Believe me, I know because she hit me with it. Don't give me excuses. Did you do it? But. Thank you, Katie Couric. But she said she was down to earth. And then after interning there for a while, she realized she probably could have stayed there, worked as an AP, associate producer. Basically, she was there logging tapes, doing things, whatever they needed, the grunt work. She loved it. It was a great experience. She got to meet some cool people and blah, blah, blah. But I think one time there was, sometimes she was involved backstage with the MTV Awards. She was telling me, and it was a great experience, but she knew she wanted to be a reporter. She wanted to be able to do it. She knew she had to go to smaller markets to be able to get that done. And so she didn't want to stay in New York City. And, you know, because if you intern and you do a good job, that's how you get your connections. And then maybe if there's ever an opening, oh, we remember that intern was really good. You know, that's how it works. But she was like, no, it was a great experience. She also worked for the Olympics when they were in Atlanta with the bombing. Remember that? They blamed that guy. That guy ended up dying. He didn't even put the bomb. Remember that? But Emily, my wife is very small, petite. She ended up driving around a van, driving people around. But she interned for that. And then she did intern at CNN, I believe. But anyway, so what we did was we wanted to show Addie, our daughter, where 30 Rockefeller Center, 30 Rock, where they have Saturday Night Live, NBC, that's where she used to work. But, you know, our daughter is like, oh, okay, that's nice. You know, she used to go in that door. Oh, okay. Yeah, she's looking around. And then we took a picture in NBC, 30 Rock. Emily did get in trouble. Believe it or not, she actually got in trouble. And it was for a good cause. She wanted to make a sign for her grandparents that were living here in Tampa Bay. And it was also a birthday. I don't know if it was birthday, granny and papa, whatever it was, well, you know, and back in Florida, blah, 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 blah. So she gave the sign to one of the, I get the Today Show, they have fans that can get around and sometimes they'll go outside and they'll show some of the fans or interview some of the fans that are there in the morning. And Emily gave a sign and it said, happy birthday to somebody, blah, 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 da, 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 whatever the sign was. And I don't think it was it might have been Al Roker. And he's like, oh, where'd you get this sign? Oh, did you make this sign? She goes, no, a girl that works in NBC Today Show gave it to us. Yeah, no, a girl that gave it to us to put on camera. And they called a staff meeting on the Today Show. Who's the intern that gave the sign to the fan because you wanted your family members to be seen on national TV. Who's the intern? It's little Emily. No more signs. You're banned from going out there, whatever. Yeah. Yeah. That's my wife. So anyway, we returned to the scene of the crime. And so that was kind of cool. And then, of course, it was funny, too, because when we went to, Emily, she's always wanted to do, she'll want to do anything to make life better for our daughter. She thought it would be kind of cool to want to get one of those carriage rides, you know, around Central Park. And how much is it? But it was pretty expensive. She was going to, I think you could do four. What's the age? We ended up not doing it, but. Like I said, we walked, we were in Central Park because where we were with this hotel in Sheridan, we were only like 6-7 blocks from Central Park. So we were there, we went in the Plaza Hotel, but downstairs, I remember that used to be really, really neat. We went there a couple of years ago and that was kind of closed. They had closed since the pandemic and then never reopened. But it was neat. It was neat to see. But when we got to Central Park, our daughter, I heard her telling her friend, oh, this is there's where Home Alone took place. She remembers it from Home Alone, the movie. Remember the lady with the feeding the birds with the kid? Yeah. And we saw with the big rocks and then the tree. Yeah. That's how she remembered Central Park. And then boom, off to something else. So all in all, it was a really, really, it was a good experience. And it was great. And now they're talking about going to do something, go back next year, go somewhere else. Look at Nashville, some other trip. We've been there now. We've done that, you know? And, oh, one other thing. And I meant to mention this to my brother. So the cabs, since I had been in a New York City cab, you know how they have that little thing in on the dashboard and it tells you, it's like $8, $10, $12, $14. It keeps going up $20, $22, $27. How much your fare is. There's that. And then on the right side of that little thing there, it's another $10. It's another fee for New York City, wherever that money goes. Okay. So even though it says $24, your fare is really going to be $34. Well, coming from the airport, and I researched it, what's a Lyft or an Uber? It should average about $58 to $60. Okay, so even when we got in with the New York City cab driver from 42 years, how much roughly you think it's going to be? He goes, well, it depends. It depends on how bad the traffic is, what type of day it is, depends. I did have a fare the other day. It was $80. $80? He goes, yours probably isn't that much. We were driving to get into the city on a weekday, on a Friday morning, about 10:20. So, and it wasn't bad. It ended up being, I think, 60. I gave him a 65, 67 bucks, something like that or whatever. Okay. So then when I get in the cab with Emily to go to LaGuardia Airport, I'm noticing there was a little bit more traffic, and it was on a Sunday morning to get through the tunnel to get out to LaGuardia. But there was the $10 extra there was there. So we're going. And I said, crack cash. He goes, oh, you cash? I thought cash was even a little bit less than credit card, but whatever. So we stop. We're at LaGuardia now. We're going to get out. It said $52, and then he hits it, the other 10, so it's 62. He presses it again. It's 64, and he presses it again. It's $69. I said, whoa. You stopped it. You pressed it again. It was 64. No, 69 said no. He's just like, son of a, did you? And what are you supposed to do in that situation? Like, if they just, so it was seven. I'm like, I'm not giving this guy a tip, man. Sorry, I can give you 70 bucks and that's it. But I'm just saying, I remember it used to be like, back in the day, you know, $45 to get to the airport. Now it's like 70. Oh, well, what are you gonna do? So great trip. Happy to be back. There's always no place like home. We came back. It wasn't boiling hot, and everything was good. So all in all, it was good. I want to thank, oh, how could I forget? Listen, if you are in the market for windows, doors, there is one place and one place only. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, it would be Lipton Window and Door of Newport Richey. They are the best. They have the best value. They use cost-cutting edge technology. Customer service is always number one. So if you're in Hillsborough or Pasco, Pinellas, Hernando counties, give Lipton Window and Door a call, 727-372-2455. What I love about it is someone always answers the phone, which is really, really neat. Tim Lipton has been in business at Lipton Window and Door for decades. And when you're a local business and you've been successful for decades, you're doing it right. They only carry top quality windows and doors. Lipton will provide you with custom made window and door solutions. And I'm telling you, I'm putting my name on it. Give them a call, 727-372-2455. They never, never compromise on quality. Lipton also, Tim Lipton is a big supporter of the Southeast Guide Dogs in Bradenton. He went down there. He saw what they did. He said, I got to get involved. Lipton Window and Door will donate $100 from every job to Southeast Guide Dogs in Bradenton. 100% financing on all window purchases and or installation cost. It is Lipton Window and Door of Newport Richey. And tell them The Rock sent you, Rock Riley of The Rock Stops Here podcast. All righty, guys. All right. I enjoyed it. Mike Golick, thank you very, very much. Let's see what's in store next week. Hey, if you're not subscribed, hit the subscribe button. Also, leave a comment down below. All right. That helps. I'm learning all of the algorithm, but you don't need to know that. Listen, thank you for supporting. I'll talk to you next week. It's good to be back.